Well, it's a really strange thing. So many people love otters, and yet so few have actually seen them in the wild. And we're lucky here in Ireland, because we've got quite a healthy population of otters in our rivers. But even so, it's incredibly hard to spot them. So I went and got a bit of help from zoologist Louis O'Neill, and he's been researching the otter population along the beautiful King's River in Kilkenny.
Well, for the last 4 or 5 months, I've been tracking 10 otters on this river. So we have them tagged with radio tags. And so every day we go out and we find where they are and what they're doing. We've been working on around a 16-kilometre stretch of the King's River. 10 otters is a very high number of otters. And so this really appears to be a very good river for otters.
In your right hand here, you've got a piece of equipment, and this is the way that you find out if these tagged otters are around the place or not.
Yeah, because the tagged otters, they send out a little signal, and this machine then allows us to hear that signal. And so when we're within around 100 to 200 metres of the otter, this little box or receiver, it starts to beep.
Yeah.
And so it can tell us exactly where the otter is and what it's doing. So for example, if the otter is diving underwater and fishing, the signal will go up and down. Or if it's just asleep, the signal stays stable.
So we're going to put this on and go for a walk down the river here and hope that we hear a beep and that we manage to see one. How likely is it?
Well, we certainly will find them. Whether or not we'll see them is another question. But I mean, if the signal is fluctuating, we have a very good chance of seeing them. Because otters generally, once we don't approach them too closely and once they are active, they're very content to stay doing what they're doing. And so what we'll do is once we find an otter that is active and we'll be able to tell if they are, we'll just stay a little bit up from the direction that it's moving, and then there should be no problem. There should be no difficulty in seeing it.
And I presume if they hear us, they're not going to like that. I mean, is it a matter of being quiet around otters?
To a certain degree. In a way, once we don't change what we're doing, if the otter comes across us and if we stay speaking quietly, for example, and we're not too close to the otter, there shouldn't be a problem. Once I was coming down, I arrived at the area that one of the adult males hangs around in. And so, well, we call him Gura. I arrived down and his bum was up out of the water and his head was down and he was looking around for crayfish, I suppose. And anyway, I arrived down to him and I was within around 5 metres when he popped his head back up. And then he saw me and he kind of started a little bit, but just kind of sat, wallowed in the water and looked at me. He kind of stayed looking at me until I moved, and then he eventually just very grumpily, I suppose, rolled into the water and swam away. And well, he only swam away around 10 metres and then came up under a tree and just sat there looking at me until I left.
Wondering what you were doing
exactly,
in his stretch of river.
Yeah.
I remember trying to find otters in Mayo and walking around and never seeing one. And I was at times when you'd expect to see them at dawn and dusk and all the rest. The reason I knew they were there was because of their feces.
Yeah.
And this is one sure way of walkers to be able to find them. You mightn't see one, but you'll know they're there by these very distinctive fecal remains.
Yeah, but they leave these little kind of black, oily-looking droppings. They're about the size maybe of a 5-cent piece or so.
And a lovely smell.
That's the thing, exactly. I mean, they're the one, I think, dropping that really actually smells quite nice.
Yeah. These tell a million tales, really. I mean, because they can really help you understand what the otter has eaten.
What we find most often here in the King's River is remains of crayfish. They're like a little lobster. When they eat those, they're just full of these hard shell bits. But we also sometimes find eels, but maybe not so much as there once were. Also salmon and trout. And then minnow as well.
The lovely frogs, which they love, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They certainly do. And actually, it's been really interesting recently because, well, I suppose for the last 2 months or so, we've been tracking them. And every single time, they've been just on the riverbank. But just these last week or two now, we started to find them up to around 200 metres back from the bank, which is kind of amazed us. But then when we went to look there, the place was just crawling with frogs. So otters have been known to travel very, very far out of their way.
For a frog,
exactly. So let's just go out, and there's this kind of weir wall that we're going to go out on top of, which is a great place to find springs. We're just going to go out and see if we can find some here.
So we're just going across the weir now. We're right in the middle of the river. And in the middle of the river, there are these stones, and we're looking downwards to see.
So, okay, we have a very, very old spraint here, and it's just literally just a streak on a stone. We just break it apart, and even the very old ones will still hold this kind of smell. Yeah, this smell, can you get that smell?
Oh, yeah, it's
quite a sweet kind of a...
And they're kind of grey colour, I suppose, the easiest.
Yeah, they're kind of grey. They can be from black to a very dark green, I suppose.
Yeah.
there's a little patch of sand just at the base of one side of the weir.
Yeah.
And we're after finding a lovely otter footprint. I think it's the more exciting way to see if an otter's around. So if you look at this one here, it's just on the edge of a little sandbank. Well, I think we can see, just about see, one, two, three, four. Well, there's a fifth one missing. The little pinky is missing. but the other four are still there. And if you look at the little pads, or the fingertips parts, they're really round here. Mm. Each one is round and they're all kind of spread around. Otter's claws are kind of like our nails. They're up on the top of the finger. So when it pushes down, it's not really shown.
Are they very dexterous? I mean, do they use them a lot as we would for opening and closing and all
that?
They
certainly are, yeah. They're able to hold on to things, which amazed us. Because when we were putting the tag on, they'd hold on to us, or they'd hold on to, to anything around them. And they have little hands on their feet. So they certainly are very dexterous, yeah. And on one occasion, for example, we watched one that came out and was actually using the roots of a tree as if it was a ladder. It reared out of the water a little bit and caught onto it and literally gripped the branch and pulled itself up. Other animals would get their paws over it, but it didn't. It actually caught onto the front end of it and then lifted itself up a little bit and climbed up literally as a person would climb up on a ladder, which is, I suppose, amazing. But people have seen them play with stones, for example, like passing stones across from one hand to the other and different types of play like that. Yeah.
And why would they play with stones? I mean, I think probably why people love otters is because of this, like Tarka, that they are very playful and that they do mess around, if you like.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, we'll often see what's called an otter slide, and it's exactly that. Otters have these little slides of mud on the riverbank, and they make such a mess of the place. And really, they've no need to make a mess because they're just going into the water, but they slide down, and we've seen them do this, and they slide down, and they climb back up again, and they slide down again, and they're literally just playing. And yeah.
And would these be adults or would these be young?
Both, actually. We saw a group of them do it. Admittedly, the mother didn't really stay interested in it for so long, but the cubs certainly loved it.
It's a lot of play learning, trying to learn and get used to the shape and the feel of different parts of the bank.
I mean, in the same way as children's play, it increases dexterity. I imagine maybe that coordination is increased by sliding down a bank, but I think it was really just similar to children's play in that it just served its own purpose in being fun, I suppose. I have colleagues from the Netherlands. They work in the Dutch otter station, and they have a number of tame otters. And these otters are incredibly affectionate, really affectionate. One, for example, he bonded with this otter, and it took him a while to bond with it. But once he did, then this otter would follow him around everywhere, and maybe 100 metres back, following him just exactly where he put his feet, because the otter's sense of smell is fantastic. And the otter would play with him underwater, loved playing with him underwater, and would climb up across his shoulders. And really, they're a very, very affectionate creature.
What use do otters make of sound? I mean, you're lucky if you see one, but you're extra lucky if you hear one.
Yeah.
So do they use sound a lot in terms of their communication?
Particularly, they have a kind of a little kind of sound that they make, which is a really kind of a welcoming sound, the equivalent of a cat purring or something like that. They also have this kind of shrill whistle that they make. They certainly do that when they feel threatened, because sometimes we've heard it if we've approached too closely. This is only at night, really, if they're pretty quiet during the day. They have a whole range of sounds that they use.
Well, let's carry on and see then if we can see one.
There's a group of otters that live in this area that we've been following. So there's one group, she's a kind of a teenage daughter, and she's also lactating, so she's also giving milk, so she has baby cubs as well.
And when you say teenage, how old are teenage cubs?
Well, they're
in
kind
the otter
of
world?
Over between a year and a year and a half old. So they're actually almost the same size as the mother. If you were looking at them, you'd have trouble picking the mother out.
And how long do they stay with the mothers?
They stay, I think, up to around a year and a half, I think, before they leave.
And how do they leave? I mean, who kicks who out?
I think it's the mother that kicks them out. When their daughters grow up to be at an age when they can have their own cubs, then they get kicked out. She has to make sure that by the time her new cubs will grow up, there'll be two more fully grown bodies on the river. There has to be enough food to go around for them too.
And how far away would cubs go once they're old enough to leave? I mean, once the mother kicks them out, how far away do they go?
Well, it kind of depends really on what's available around them. The females seem to go around 10 kilometres or so away from where they were born. And it's the males then that go long distances. So the males then, well, they could go any distance. I mean, we've tracked ones that have gone 16 kilometres in one night.
But it makes sense for them to go, because otherwise they'll all be related to each other.
Exactly, yeah. And I think it's the males then that make sure that you won't have that kind of inbreeding.
Let's make our way then.
Okay, so we've come about a mile and a half up from the bridge in Kells to where this Glory River runs into the Kings River. And it's often a very good place to find otters at these kind of junctions between two rivers.
And so why?
Because it's kind of a good spot for communication between otters. So otters on both sets of rivers kind of will often come to the central part to sprint and to see how their neighbours are doing or whatever. Mm. There's four otters that use this particular spot to rest in. Two of them are adult males. They're using the same area because there's a female in it that they obviously both fancy. and then there's one female who uses it, one adult female, and she's the one who has little baby cubs. And then there's also her, what we think is her daughter from last year. She normally stays off in this little patch of reeds off to the right, and actually she's almost always there. And I have a feeling that it's the mother that's kind of pushing her into the corner of the territory, and this young one doesn't seem to be pushed about leaving.
So she is the mother's cub from last year, yeah. the last round of cubs.
And this mother already has little baby cubs, and this young one hasn't left yet. And what we think is it's that the mother now has stopped, pushed her out of her group. She's still in her area, but she's not really allowed to be there, so she's just waiting there, and we expect her to leave anytime soon.
The mother is pushing her out and asking her just to leave because the mother has new cubs and doesn't want her to be eating the fish.
That's what we think, exactly.
Yeah. And we're at the side, I mean, I'm sure you can hear the road here. So we're very near the road, we're about 10 metres from the road.
Yeah.
And yet looking the other way, we have these incredibly high nettles and then the river.
The males, they're never in this place together. Either one's here or the other's here, but they're never here together. And that's obviously presumably because they don't really like each other very much.
Will you be able to spot if they're male or female very easily?
The face is a little bit more masculine. It's hard to describe it, really.
Yeah.
It looks, you know, a little bit more masculine. Males are around 7.5 kilos. And the females will be around, they can be 6, 6.5 or 7, you know, so they can be really very much the same size.
So that's 7 bags of sugar.
Exactly.
It's quite heavy.
Yeah, it's quite heavy. It's a medium-sized dog. But the difference between them is very small. I don't think I could tell them apart if it was a male or female. No.
And you've tagged these. These are the otters you're following.
These all have little tags on their backs that send out a little signal that we can pick up, so we'll be able to hear the bleat.
So you have your receiver in your hand. So why don't we turn it on and see what happens?
Okay, so I'm just switching it on and you can just hear the hissing. Yeah, I don't know if you can... There. Can you hear it? The male otter actually is here as it happens. He's just here to our left.
What am I hearing?
Now, this beep is what that tag is sending out. So that beep gets...
The little beep, okay.
Exactly. So if I point the antenna at it, then that beep gets louder. And as I point it away, it gets quieter. And that lets us then tell exactly where the animal is.
How do you know it's a male?
They're all sending out the signal at different frequencies.
Okay.
So it's like different channels on a radio station, different stations. This station is well, we have it down at station 11. So I know that's this adult male, Gura. And so he's just over there.
Yeah.
And if I go through
the left.
Exactly. Now, if I go through the other ones...
So there's one male so far that you've picked
one
up.
One male, exactly. And he's off to our left. This is now... This is the young female. The one that I said was always here.
And she's here?
And she is, yeah. I don't know if you can hear that. Can you hear it?
And she's right over to the right.
She's off to her right. She's just over here on there's kind of a patch of reeds on the far side of the river over there.
How exciting.
This adult male is right over.
Well, let's see if we can find him first.
Okay, exactly, yeah. Oh, he's moved a bit. He's moving away from us, actually. Male. Okay, so what we'll do, I think, is we'll just circle around him and we'll go upstream of him.
So he's obviously heard us and is moving
away. He would. So, but he won't be too worried about us, I think. But if we can just move up, go around the stream and then wait for him on the upside stream of that.
So we're trying to see if he's still there.
So he's just moved away from us a little bit. But he just seems now to have just settled down a bit again, so maybe he's not moved away too far.
So the river is about 20 metres over there, is it?
Metres
away?
Yeah.
And do you know what he's doing? I mean, can you tell from the beeps what he's doing? Or?
Well, what you can do is, if the beep is going up and down, like this one is, here, that's quite a loud one and a softer one and a louder one. That means then that the otter must be moving in front of and behind things. So it means that the otter is moving. And if it changes a lot... If it changes a lot, then the otter is underwater, because the signal just dies when the otter goes underwater, and then it comes back when he comes up again. And the loudest part of it then is the point that we can tell the otter is at. And
it's
actually
incredible.
If we don't want to go near and disturb the otter, what we can do is if we take directions from different places, then we can tell exactly where the otter is by where those lines cross.
Of course.
So if we just go through there, there's a chance to come on.
So you can actually infer quite a lot of information from this technology. You can
tell
if there's an otter there, who the otter is, and what they may be doing.
Exactly. You can tell, for example, how long they're foraging for, how long they're diving for, because how long the signal is absent for. What we're doing is just telling how much space it uses and what it does every day.
It's getting very faint now.
It's very faint because he's gone.
So he's done exactly what you said, is he's gone upstream.
Yeah.
Is it worth waiting for him?
Not particularly. I think the best option really is that we go kind of a fair bit upstream and we just sit quietly and wait for him. This is Pauline Flynn. Pauline Flynn has been a great help really with the research all along the way. But Pauline lives
in a
beautiful house just beside the river here.
The mill house.
Yes.
So you have a nice view.
We do, but the river runs very close to the house. And at night when you leave the windows open to hear the water running through the mill race, on occasion we hear the otters calling as well.
How amazing.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. What do they sound like?
It's almost like a loud purring noise they make. I can't do it. I can purr like a cat, but it's more. It's more than that, but it's very distinctive. And I didn't know what it was initially. And it was Louis told me the day after I first heard it, he had found otter droppings right where I had heard the sound coming from. And I've heard it quite a few times since.
What time do you hear it at?
I think it was about 11:30. Between 11 and 12.
So when it gets
dark. Yes, which leaves me, unfortunately, not be able to get out and get a look at them because it's very dark around here. There's no street lights, no nothing. So
yeah, lovely.
Yeah, unless you have a torch. You're not going to find anything. And of course, maybe by the time I'd come out, they're going to run for it.
And that sound, Louis, is what? What are they trying to say with that sound?
Friendly noise I was talking about earlier on. It's kind of, well, within a family group, this kind of happy noise when they see each other. And tame otters, when their master or whatever, their owner would come over. And if there's a really good relationship there, the otter might make that sound.
Sort of recognition, yeah. What a lovely thing to hear at night. I mean, once you know what it is, it's so exciting.
Yeah, the first time I heard it, we were only here about 2 weeks and I didn't know what I was after here.
Hello.
Anyway, we have found
Paul,
out.
How are you going?
Hi, who are you?
This is Paul Flynn.
Hi.
Hi there.
Ella McSweeney, nice to meet you.
How are you doing? What you up to now?
Oh, we're just...
Ella is recording a programme for RT.
I don't normally walk around with this stuff.
We didn't do it.
We were just talking about the otters that you hear. Yes. I'm doing a programme with Louis on work.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you saw one under the bridge here one day and I was further down. Do you think?
Yeah, it is unfortunate, really.
We have heard the odd, serious splash in the river, but we haven't managed to catch sight of one.
Which is what we're trying to do, and we haven't managed yet.
No, but it's amazing, actually, because those sprains that you're talking about, Pauline, they're within around 10 metres of the front door.
Yes, they are. It's very, very close.
It's amazing, the thoughts. And we had some Dutch colleagues over, and they couldn't believe it because they're trying to reintroduce otters over there, and to live 10 metres away from where these otters caught it was astounding for them, and it's special, really.
But it just shows how hard it is to see one if you've got, you know, sprains 10 metres from your door and yet you haven't seen one yet, and you live here.
Yeah,
you know.
They don't want to be seen.
No,
they don't
they're having
to
too
be
much
seen.
Fun.
Yeah.
They're afraid they know that if they come close enough, I'll take one home.
Which somehow makes it even more exciting, the fact that you can't see them, but they're there. And you can hear them when you know that they're there.
Yes.
Yeah, we hear them now
lovely.
And then. We hear them barking or whatever.
Well, that's kind of a purring noise they make.
Yeah. We only have Japanese radios, we can't get them.
No, we get RTE one, we do.
Thanks a million.
Enjoy,
thank
hope you,
bye
get
bye.
To
guys.
See one.
Thanks,
no,
bye.
I'll see you, talk to you then. Oh, can you hear that?
There's a faint.
That's fantastic, actually, because this...
What's that?
That's the male here, and he doesn't have a resting site around here. So that means... The other male, exactly, so that means that he's probably active here.
Maybe he'll be a bit kinder to us.
So we're in luck.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Fantastic.
That's great news. And what would he be doing around here, then?
What they do is they go from their resting site. So they rest, obviously, in one place, and then whenever they're hungry, they either move off to a new resting site and fish around there, or more often, they kind of fish their way down to the other resting site. And that's what he's probably doing now, is he's just moving down.
Okay, and this is the area where you said earlier the otters were actually coming out of the river into these boggy areas,
exactly,
if you like, where the frogs are.
We've just passed by a frog just a couple of seconds ago, and so the place at the moment is just actually crawling with frogs, and it's amazing because it's only in the last 2 or 3 weeks, really, that we've started to find these otters moving back 200 metres back from the bank.
And again, showing how, what you scientists call it, opportunistic. I mean, how they'll take what they can get.
Oh, exactly.
In terms of frogs sometime and then crayfish or whatever.
Well, I mean, they're a very well-built predator and they're able to take a lot of different types of prey. And certainly, I mean, for any predator, I suppose a frog is a very tempting food item. They're really not very quick and they're quite large.
And we've got a whole herd of cows coming at us now.
Okay, so we've just found quite a loud beep for the otter just here. And so we're just going to go. He's maybe around 20 meters away from us. And he's still foraging, so we're just going to make our way down to the river and see if we can just watch for him now and see if he can pass us by.
So you can probably hear the cows behind us, but we're about 2 meters from the river and you're picking up an otter quite strongly here.
That's so frustrating. He's certainly not too far away from us, but it's possible that you can hear the cattle here are quite noisy, and it's possible that those have just kind of made him move a little bit away from us, because we were really right on top of him a second ago.
So if we move a little bit up to the right?
Yeah, well, I think he's still quite close to us. It might be worth just waiting and seeing if he comes here.
He might settle down as well. Something exciting is happening.
Yeah, so we've just come back and we had some problem with our aerial a little while ago. We realised it wasn't working very well. The otter has actually seems to have just cut across a field and is now in a boggy bit around 100 metres back from the river.
So he's in the middle of the field?
Yeah, he's in the middle of the...
Chasing frogs, do you think?
Probably, yeah. And he's actually, if you can hear that, the signal is going kind of pretty wildly up and down.
So he's moving?
He is, yeah. It's got quite quiet there, can you hear?
If you cut across the field in front of us...
Well, we're probably safe enough.
And we're still surrounded by these cows.
And the cattle aren't making enough noise for anybody, so we'll just wander over and hope.
So it's directly in front of us, 20 metres ahead of us, there's a boggy patch in this field.
Yeah, lots of thick reeds and that. And
we're surrounded by cows, but we think that... Well, we know that he's in there. And this is the male.
This is the male, yeah. Now he's just...
He's moving to the left.
Okay, well, we just better sneak over. It's very strange.
So we're just walking towards the boggy patch in the hope that we see a glimpse of him, and if we do see him, it's going to be quick.
I have a chance of can you hear how much louder it is?
Oh, he's right. So he's very near.
He's just over here. There he is. Actually, I think he's cutting back across the field again.
So this is really strange. He's come out of the water.
This is amazing. We're literally in the middle of a field with some rushy bits, and it's amazing that he managed to even pass us by without us seeing him.
So we'll just creep forward then.
Just turn down the volume on this.
Yeah. So the chances are he's trying to get frogs. He's come out of the river to get some frogs in the buggy bit.
But unfortunately, every time we move forward, the cattle all follow us, and it's as if we have a beating line here. Maybe just look for reeds moving. Maybe we just look for some... There, can you see that?
Did you see him?
Yeah, can you see the reed moving there? That's him.
So we've seen a reed moving.
It doesn't sound like much, I suppose.
Oh, and there's another reed moving there.
Over here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's exactly where he is. And the cattle are to our left.
This isn't a very safe place for him to lie low.
No.
There's no escape, really. He's in the middle of a field, and so I think the only thing he could be doing here, really, is actually actively hunting for frogs. He's certainly moving around quite a lot.
There he is! There he is! Straight along there. There he is. Can you see him?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Fantastic.
That's amazing.
Well, I have to say, the last thing I thought I'd see today was an otter running across a field.
That's incredible. So, I mean, it's difficult to describe what I just saw, which just looks like a...
But it's amazing how quickly
they go. A dark dog just running very, very fast.
Yeah, like a dark chocolate. And just...
Very curvaceous running, isn't it?
Yeah, it just kind of bounds
along. Lolloping.
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
How amazing.
But the speed of
it. Oh, how satisfying to see him. That is so exciting. So... He swung all the way around us. So he was at 12 o'clock, if you like, and now he's at
exactly.
All the way around at 8 o'clock.
He was moving in towards him, and he just took off, I suppose. And then we saw the rushes start to move. And
Did you see him? You saw him?
I just saw him just when he was down here at the corner here. Because you can kind of just, there's rushes beside us and rushes on the far side, and there's just this kind of clear little path in along the middle, and you could just see him just flash by, really, almost.
The most amazing thing is that he's so uncamouflaged.
Yeah.
You know, it's no wonder that they're so elusive and so careful. I saw him, he's such a dark pelt.
Like, those frogs are clearly so important to the otter, because it really takes a risk crossing open land like that, you know? Like, if that had been...
That's incredible.
If those had been dogs, for example, coming across into the middle of a field, it's a very dangerous place for an otter to find itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Two seconds, Liam.
I'm extremely excited about having seen an otter in the middle of a field just running across it.
And it's worth the hours and hours we've waited.
Thank you, cattle. that was something.
And that was the last episode in The Best of Shanks Mare, which was presented and produced by Ella McSweeney and first broadcast in 2006.